Alan, welcome to Zebras and Unicorns, the podcast for everyone who wants to make a difference in this world. My name is Jasmin Spreer, and today I will talk with the co-founder and CEO, Thibaut Delorant, of a French startup, Back Market. Similar to the Austrian startup Refurb, refurbished devices such as laptops or cell phones can be bought cheaper on the startup's platform. Just last week, they also announced a successful funding round. They were able to secure 276 million euros in the process. Today, I talk to Thibaut about their plans for the future. So, hello Thibaut, I'm very glad to welcome you here today.
Hello, thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, of course. First of all, congratulations on this fantastic investment round. How do you feel now as a newly crowned unicorn?
Well, we are very happy that we reached to succeed to close that round and to be surrounded by now a generation investment management, which was funded by Al Gore back at the time, and he's still in charge of this fund. And I'm sure you know that he's one of the top five fighters for climate change, and he does really believe that we can change things with businesses. At scale, and so that's why we are very happy that we have him on board now, and he can bring a lot of his experience, obviously in the US, but also more globally to Back Market. So that's a great step for us. And about the unicorn, there is not much to say about that. We don't really care about the valuation stuff. We know that today, 90% of the product that we are consuming globally are still new products when we talk about tech product. And this is what we fight. The needle is slightly moving in the right direction, but I think the power of platforms and marketplaces is to amplify and to accelerate changes toward a more sustainable economy. And so we are still at the very beginning of our journey with Back Market right now.
Yeah, this is great. And you already announced in the current press release that 25 million euros of investment will be used for the operating business in Germany. But what are the plans for the remaining sum?
Basically, there are two real investment centers for Back Market. The first one is on bringing quality to the end user. If you want to convince billions of people to consume refurbished product and stop buying new product, then you can't compromise on quality. They need to have a great experience in order to, in the end, don't give any more factual reason to buy new. We do believe that people want to consume responsibly, and especially in Germany and Austria, this ecologic factor is getting more and more powerful, but they are not willing to compromise on quality. So if you want to fulfill that target and make refurbished bigger than new, you need to invest a lot on quality. So, and we do build a lot of services for our ecosystem of seller, as we are a marketplace, in order to help them improve their quality when it comes to logistic, when it comes to customer care, when it comes to financing, when it comes to sourcing, when it comes to business intelligence. In every way, we do leverage the millions of visits and customers that are going on Back Market, and we give them and we leverage those volumes in order to empower our ecosystem of merchants with the unique target to improve the quality of the user experience in the end. So that's number one pocket.
Okay, and the second?
And the second one is geographic expansion. So you mentioned about the 25 million that we are actually going to invest in Germany, and we are already starting as we speak. We are going to keep on expanding Back Market internationally. So obviously we are leading in Europe, but we're also in the US now, which is a fantastic market with close to 400 million people, so close to the size of Europe itself. And so, yeah, geographic expansion remains at the heart of the back market engine. I think we've proven with that round that we are culture agnostic. Customers everywhere we go, they are, you know, they need tech. They are very excited about consuming tech because it's basically providing them access to our world. So they can learn through tech. They can access to a job, communicate with their friends and family. Tech is everywhere. So you don't really choose today to, oh, I don't want tech or I want tech. You need tech in order to be part of this. But most of the time, you know, people don't have the purchasing power to access to new devices, which are getting very expensive. And it's not moving in the right direction when it comes to price. So this part of the population is very sensitive to the price point. And refurbished devices that are being sold through back market are between 40 and 70% less expensive than the same new devices. So we can offer them the device they need at a price point that they can afford. So that's number one. And two, there is also the trust gap. You can't, in a way, afford to not have any proper warranty and to not be safe, because even if it's much cheaper, it's still an important investment. Our average basket is around 300 euros. So you can't really afford to take too much risk and to end up being on your own if there is a problem with the product you are purchasing. So we also provide them, you know, with that safety that they can't get when they are consuming your used devices. And so in that way, it doesn't matter if you're Austrian, if you are German, if you are American, or if you are Japanese, this combo of, you know, price discount plus the reinsurance and the trust gap, the bridge of the trust gap that offers back markets with this platform, is something that meets its demand. And it's not a cultural stuff.
Yeah, great. Sounds really interesting. And you're now already represented in 13 countries. So could you tell us which target
this morning?
Which country is new? Just tell us.
Greece just went live this morning. Yes.
Ah, interesting. Welcome, Greece. So could you tell us, beside these 14 countries, which target markets are planning to add in the next few years?
We are in 14 countries currently, and we aim to be 19 by the end of the year. The next country we are going to open are basically South Korea in Asia, which is also a very exciting market. Canada in North America.
Mm-hmm.
So this morning we opened Greece, but we are going to roll out Sweden in 2 months. So those are the next one to come in the three regions where we are live in.
Yeah, really interesting. And do you also want to reach Austria? Because in Austria, also the startup referred is really big and on the market. So it's a goal of you?
Yeah, sure. So we have been in Austria for the past 12 months, a bit more now, 13 to be accurate. I think Austria is an incredibly exciting market. Consumers are driven by similar value like German customer, and sustainability is really high for them in the way they purchase products. They want to be more responsible. And it is, of course, more difficult for us to gain a foothold in Austria than in Germany, as there is already an established marketplace for refurbished devices in Austria. However, I do think that, you know, our range of products is much broader than them, and we have more attractive price on many products, and we also offer longer warranty, which I think, you know, is very important for the user to, you know, to be safe when he's choosing not to buy new. And so for those three reasons, I think that there is a, you know, still hope for back market to convince Austrian customers of our model.
Okay. Yeah, we will see. I think Refurbit is a really big startup in Austria, so we will see how it will go and how it will develop with back market.
Ultimately, I think it's good for the consumer that there is a competition, because it keeps the competition healthy, and it's always about improving the customer experience. And so if the customer's got choice, he's got better experience, and it's a healthy fight for him.
Okay, we will see. And so last year, it was the Corona year, of course, 2020. And like we already talked about, for the Austrian startup Refurbed, it was really successful. They tripled its sales. So how was the last year for you, for back market?
You know, I think we've observed similar trends when it comes to customers, because in the morning after Corona happened, we were all locked down at our places. And so we all needed to equip ourselves with products in order to either learn, to keep our studies, or to keep working home. And so everybody got really into consuming tech products in order to be able to do that remotely. We had a lot of traction on gaming consoles as well. And robo-cookers. So it was a blast on the demand side, because people were locked up at home. Also, what it generated is, of course, it was a spike of demand everywhere. We observed the same in the US than in Europe. But after that, like, you know, the vast majority of the supply is coming from trade-in programs. You know, for you and I as customers, we trade in our old product, and most of those trading operations are happening offline. And so as people were not offline, not going in the streets, in the shops, the supply of refurbished products dried down a little bit during the first confinement. And so prices went up. And after COVID, there was a bit of a slowdown on the business because mm-hmm. of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of
just to repeat myself, customer comes because the price is attractive and because they are safe.
Yeah.
And if prices are getting less attractive, then it's, you know, the equation of refurbished versus new is not that performing as well. So in the end, we achieved a great year of 2020, but I wouldn't say it was because of COVID, or COVID helped in many ways. It basically mixed and messed up the whole seasonality that we usually know since we launched 7 years ago. So in the end, it's a great year for back markets. But COVID, what it did is it messed up the seasonality, that's for sure. And the second thing maybe is also within customer minds. You know, as traffic was stopped, CO2 emission went down for the first time over the past 10 years. And so we started to hear the silence and the peace outside. And it feels great in that sense. And so people have been more and more thinking about, okay, CO2 emission is important, respecting the planet is more important. And so I think on the long run, that matters a lot. And that helps also to switch customers that were heavy new users toward refurbished electronics.
Yeah, of course. And do you and you also your employees also use the refurbished equipment, or do you use new one?
100%, 100%. My headset, my computer, my smartphone, everything that I can buy refurbished, I do buy refurbished. It's just for me, it's normal. I just want everybody to think the same way, and it's our job to convince them to do so.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and you already told us together with two other co-founders, you founded Back Market already in 2014. At that time, the circular economy was not yet a concept or of any significance to many people. So what were the first years like for you? Was it really difficult?
It was exciting, I can say, because the concept of circular economy wasn't that popular and especially refurbished. And, you know, today I think it's getting more developed thanks to the work we're doing and the work of the industry itself that is developing. And that's great. But still, many people don't really know what's the difference between a used product and a refurbished product today. Mm-hmm. It's less people than 7 years ago, for sure. But there is still a lot of convincing to be made. And to go back at one of my points, it's, I think, all about quality and delivering on the user experience, because you can do a lot of talking, but if you don't deliver with the end user, then it's you're losing someone, and someone is going to go back to buy new products, and this is our enemy. So I think it was more challenging, but it's still always challenging. We're still at the beginning, because, you know, like, I think like a recent study shows that 50% of the people are not really clear about what's refurbished, what's used, and they are less clear even at choosing refurbished versus new, because they don't feel yet it's normal, and we'll get there.
Okay, great. Hopefully. What do you think? How important is it for the growing importance of a functioning circular economy to reach the international climate goals?
Well, I'm going to give you a few figures. First one, globally, we generate 35 billion of CO2 emission every year. 5% is due to the production of new devices. So 1.7 billion is because of production of hardware products. So this is a big part of it. It's huge. So we have to accelerate on extending the life of those products in every way. And for me, there are two paths. First one is, let's scale refurbished products. And in order to do that, you also need to scale the sourcing of the products, because many people do not know what to do with the product when they don't want to use it anymore. Like, you keep it in your cupboard, you keep it somewhere, laptops, smartphones, but also home appliance, headsets, TVs. The list is very long. People don't have a clear go-to guy when it comes to, I don't want to use that product anymore, because maybe it's broken, or because maybe just want to replace it. In any way, there is no a three clicks app or way of trading in. So this is why we are investing in the suits of service I mentioned for our merchants, in the trading programs, in order to really offer that access to easily trade in your old stuff. And I think that's one. And two, keep on building reinsurance and fight that trust gap that still exists between new and refurbished. That's the first path to extend the life of products for me, by building that circular loop. Like, I easily trade in, I easily purchase refurbished, I'm not going to buy new anymore. So we are really in the circularity. And two, I think repair is also at the very, very beginning of each journey. Today, not many people repair their stuff. And it's mostly because I think it's not convenient enough, it's not easy enough, and it's also freaky. Trust gap is big when it comes to repair. You can go in the street in Vienna and maybe you will trust someone to repair your screen or replace your battery, but eventually you will not feel safe about that. So, you won't do it. And that's a big problem. So for me, we also need a lot of initiatives and professionalism around the repair economy. And then in the end, it's For me, it's like the car market, you know, like 70% of the car are now being sold used, which is great. It's way more circular than the only roughly 10% of tech product being sold used. And I think it's mostly because the level of services and professionalism around that economy is there. When you purchase a car, you can purchase a used one. You have maintenance programs. You have financing options. You can trade in your old one. You can, you know, and so all this level of services is not yet mature and refurbished. And this is why we are investing so much money, including the last round we've done, on those services.
You already told us what new target markets you want to reach. But beside these target markets and beside also the other goals you already told us, what are the plans for in the next years for the back market?
Basically, I told you about, you know, the overall problem, which is 5% of the CO2 emissions globally are coming from the production of new products. So in order to solve that problem, the vision we phrased and framed for back market is to give no more factual reason to buy new. This is where I'm aiming at. And so we'll bring all the enablers that are necessary to the end user. And as a marketplace, it always comes down to creating the enablers, you know, like the services for merchants and for the professionals that actually are growing, of course, a lot. Within that space of recycling, refurbishing, repairing. But they do need a lot of tooling. They do need a lot of help in order to focus on do their job properly. So we focus all our energy at back market to, you know, create all the conditions to make that happen. And in the end, cannibalize the new economy with a lot of circularity.
That would be great. And just a last view to the future. Could it be possible if more and more people only buy refurbished devices? What would be, of course, perfect, because that's the goal, because you already told us that new stuff is your enemy. Could it be possible that there are no longer enough devices to refurbish? And how often can a device be refurbished? Is it an unending circle?
So we are getting into philosophy here, but I think it's not that far. First, you create circularity on the act of buying refurbished. Two, you create the act of trading in your old stuff, because used devices are the raw material of this industry. So you need to accelerate trading programs. And the more you cannibalize new, the less production of new products there is. And so ultimately, I think, you know, innovation will go through upgrading. So you will use devices and spare parts in order to improve the devices themselves. And innovation should come from ended product already. It shouldn't go back to extracting raw materials. That's where, you know, we need to stop, because it's the top responsible of the production of CO2 emissions. So innovation will go through, for me, if we succeed, upgrading of existing products. And then when there is no more upgrade, then you can recycle it. But really, when there is more upgrade. So we do see already on back market product being sold like 4 or 5 times. So it can last for a serious amount of time. That's great. But it's never enough, and it needs to go further. So, for example, let's go back to very old Galaxy S2, for example. And so these devices, you know, is not maintained with Android anymore on the OS. And so what if we were using this Samsung Galaxy S2 in order to be, you know, maybe a baby phone to watch out for your baby, or a TV remote for your TV, or an IoT device to just control the temperature at home. It can do many things. It was already Wi-Fi equipped, Bluetooth equipped. It can send command. So we do also need to do some lobbying in order to make manufacturers forced to free their devices when they are not maintaining their exploitation system. And I'm pretty sure open source is going to take care of those.
Thank you very much for this interview, Thibaut. It was really interesting. And we will see how your back market will develop. And to all of you out there, thank you for listening. Also, feel free to listen again for a next conversation with an interesting studio guest. Thibaut, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.